Good morning. First of all, I'd like to thank Menachem Dovid for giving me this opportunity to speak here. I'd also like to thank my father for always supporting me, supporting my learning, and then ultimately enabling me to be speaking here today. So I want to first give a short shikul Torah on why Noshma Chayim Dalakosas. Afterwards, I want to give a nice idea on, general idea on Pesach. So only have 15 minutes, I think we should get started. So the Gemara in Kedushin tells us that Noshim are not chayv in mitzvah saseh man grama. Mitzvah say a positive mitzvah which has a time bound, they're not chayv in. The Gemara in Sochim tells us, that kuv ches, tells us, Amram Shulman Levi tells us that Noshim are chayv in dalakosis. And the reason is because they were afhim bos hanes. Since they were also part of the nes, the chayv in dalakosis as well. Straight away, the Rashbam says that pshat is not they were part of the nes. The ikar nes was done alidei them. The main part of the nes was done alidei the noshim, and that's where the chayev. And he says that the same is by Chanukah and Purim. The reason why the chayev, because the main part of the nes was done alidei them. By Purim, it was alidei Esther, and that's where the chayev Megillah. And when it comes to Chanukah, it was alidei Yehudis. And Pesach, it's because the noshim sitkonyas, and that's why the chayev. Now, Tosa straight away asks a question on Rashbam. He says that it doesn't really fit into the Loshon because the Gemara says, Af hei mos hanes. They were also part of the Nes. That doesn't sound like they were the Ikka part of the Nes. And with this, Tosa just says that since they were part of the Nes, that's why the Chai have nothing to do with being the Ikka part of the Nes. So this is Machlukas, Rashbam, and Tosa. And there's many other Rishonim, there's the Mordechai, the Ran, they all take different sides. So a practical nafgamina between Rashbam and Tosa will be as follows. Will an Ebed be Chayev? We said that Dalakosas, lady's going to be Chayev. What about an Ebed? Will they be Chayev? So according to Tosfos, Afim Bos Hanes, the Avodim were also part of the Nisim which happened in Mitzrayim. So they were also should be Chayev. According to Rashbam, it's not just that they were part of the Nes, they were the Ikar part of the Nes. Avodim weren't part of the Ikar part of the Nes, it was only the ladies. So according to the Rashbam, they won't be chayev. And this is a practical discrimination between the Rashbam and the Tosfos, whether Avodim will be chayev. So Tosfos goes on, and Tosfos asks a question. If we have Afim Bos Hanes, also part of the Nes, we all know when it comes to Sukkahs, ladies are not chayev in Sukkah. Why not? They're also part of the Nes. They're also part of the Nanai Kovod. So why were they not chayev? Tosfos gives us a very simple answer, but we need to understand it. It says that since Sukkos is Minatoira, it's Deraisa, that's why we can't say Afim Bos Hanes by Deraisa. So we have to work out over here. Afim Bos Hanes works by Drabon, and it works by Dalakosas, but for some reason, it doesn't work by Sukkah. Why not? This is going to take us to the Briskerot. The Briskerot has two stodim in how Afim Bos Hanes works. What's the logistics of it? So Sadlam 1 is very simple, Poshet. So normally the Torah tells us that it's Mitzvah Seish Ran Grama, you're going to be Potter. Comes on Rabbanon and brings about a new Chiyuv. That's Sad number 1. Sad number 2 is, it's not Peshat, it's a new Chiyuv. What we're doing is, normally you're Potter. But what Afim Bos Hanes does, it takes away the Potter. Originally you're Potter, now it takes away the Potter, and we're back to the original Derais, which you are Chayev. So Tosfos is holding with the first Sad, that the reason why he's saying it doesn't work for Deraisa, and the reason why by Sukkah you're going to be Potter, is because it's a new Chiyuv. And the Rabbanon, when they bring about a new chiyuv through Afim Bos Hanes, so we've got a Patur Deraisa. So a Patur Deraisa against a new chiyuv Rabbanon, it's not going to work with Deraisa. And this explains why it won't work by Sukkah, and that's why Tosfos says you're going to be potter by Sukkah, and we don't say Afim Bos Hanes. Now Tosfos fits very well with Tosfos in Megillah. There's a Gemara over there talking about Noshim being chayuv in Megillah. And he has the same question on Rashbam there. Yeah, the Afim Bos Hanes doesn't sound like the Ikka part. And then he asks another question. Because in we learn out Matzah that Noshim Achayev, because we make a Hekish from Chometz. We're not going to go into the whole Hekish now. But the question is, if we have Afim Bos Hanes, a Svara to tell us that Noshim are going to be Chayev, then why do we need to come on to this whole Hekish? Just say Afim Bos Hanes. So it's very nice. So he just answers the Shitasa. That Afim Bos Hanes is not going to be chayav miyad deraisa because we're holding the first sad of the briskerov, which was that's a new chiyuv. So a new chiyuv is not going to be chayav miyad matzah deraisa. It'll only be chayav miyad matzah derabanan, and that fits very nicely with Tosfos lishitosoi. Tosis brings another answer, not his own answer, brings it to change someone else. And he says that the reason why we don't say by matzah, afheim bo sanes mechayv you, is not because we can't use afheim bo sanes, it's because we have a separate problem. The problem is as follows. We have gzeir shava, tesvav, tesvav. Tesvav goes back to sukkah, and we know by sukkah we're potter. So we might learn this gzeir shava to tell us that they're not chayv in matzah as well. That's why we have to come onto the hekish to tell us not to learn tesvav, tesvav, and this is why we don't learn afheim bo sanes. So what we see from the second answer, which Tosis brings, is that be'etzem, by deraisa, by sukkah, we can use afheim bo sanes. But we just said beforehand that Tosis was learning that it's not going to work for deraisa. So how come this second answer of Tosis, it's not Tosis and pshat, but still, what's pshat in it, that afheim bo sanes is also going to work with the deraisa? This is very simple. We're going to go back to the second tzad, to the start we had by the Brisker Rav. So what was the second tzad? The second tzad was that it takes away the patur. So very good. This answer is saying that it takes away the patur. So how is it going to work? Normally the Torah says that you pass a mitzvah seishah and grama. But now, afheim bo sanes takes away that patur. We don't have a patur. You're back to the deraisa. You're chayav with the deraisa. So this is going to leave us with a question. Because... So if they're saying that afheim bo sanes also works by a deraisa, so sukkah's a deraisa, Tosis answered that the reason why they're not chayiv is because sukkah's deraisa and afheim bo sanes is not going to work by a deraisa. According to this pshat, he's saying, and we're learning the second side of the Brisker Rav, that afheim bo sanes can also work by a deraisa, so why on sukkah are you ladies that are not going to be potter? According to this, they should also be chayiv. So this is going to take us back to the Rashbam, and this is how we're going to answer it. What did Rashbam say? Rashbam didn't really fit into the Loshim very well, and we'll understand why he wanted to say this. He's answering this very question. The reason why you're not chayav by sukkah is because they weren't the ikar part of the nes. He says by Chanukah, by Pesach, Dalet Kosos, he says by Purim, by Megillah, he says that they were the ikar part of the nes. That's why Noshim are chayav. By sukkah, by Nanai Kovod, Noshim weren't the ikar part of the nes. And that's Poshut why they were not chayav. And this explains to us why he didn't say Pshat like Tosfos. He had to say this ikar part of the nes, even though it didn't fit it so well into the Loshon. So we've got Machlokas, Rashbam, and Tosfos. We have two Stodim which will fit into this from the Brisker Rav, which will also bring out the two different answers, how they explain why Noshim were chayav by Sukkah. Okay, let's move on to the second bit. So I'm going to have quite a few questions, and hopefully with one idea we'll be able to answer everything. Think about it, the experience which they went through in Mitzrayim was, first of all, they went through some tremendous amount of suffering and pain, and then it came to the time of Benitzach, they screamed out, they cried out for help, and then the Rabbeinu Shalom showered them with Nisim, and Nisim which has never happened since then. This whole thing was to build them as Klal Yisrael, but if you think about it, this was before they had the Torah, it's before they were even called Klal Yisrael. At such an early stage, you know, I would think, become Klal Yisrael, have the Torah, and then start building them with these huge challenges, and then the Nisim, and the Davening. Why was it in this particular order? That's question number one. Question number two is, we say in Haggadah that each person is, every person has to relive going out of Mitzrayim. You have to relive as if each person was going out of Mitzrayim. We don't find this by any of the Omtov, Shavuot, Sukkot, we never find this. Only by Pesach and Seder night we have to actually relive going out of Mitzrayim. What's this all about? That's question number two. Question number three is that we encourage our children to ask any question they want on Seder night. We'll do things to make them ask. But what we're going to answer them, we're going to start, you know, doing something, start dancing on the table, and what? We're going to answer the children. They'll ask Daddy why I was dancing on the table, and he'll have nothing to say. There's no answer to why he's doing it, to make you ask. And what's the answer? There's no answer. What's pshat in this as well? The final question is, Avodah Meyinu is supposed to answer the Manish Tana. We had four questions about the matzah, the dipping in, the... How does Avodah Meyinu answer it? It doesn't answer it direct. Why we have matzah, we came out strong with the on our backs. It doesn't speak about this. And it doesn't clearly answer the four questions which we had. Why is this? So to answer the final question first, Rav Gamliel Rabinowitz says the following. The idea of Pesach is that we should be able to ask questions. We should ask questions, but we don't always need an answer. And that's exactly what Avodah Meyinu is. ask you questions, but I'm not going to give you an answer. What I will tell you is that Rabbeinu Shlomo took us out of Mitzrayim, Yod Chazaka, Zroin Atuya, speak about all the Nisim. It's all about Amunah. It's all about not having the exact answer to know exactly why each episode happened, but to believe that whatever Hashem does is for a good reason. And that's how Vodmin is answering it. It's telling us, trust Hashem. The same way as we go on a plane and all of a sudden there's turbulence and he starts changing the altitude and moving. Do we have questions on why the pilot's doing this? Yeah, we've got questions. But we don't need answers because we trust the pilot. We come on this flight and we trust that he knows what he's doing and he's going to get us safely home. So I want to say a following story. It was one Shabbos in Sloan Kettering Hospital, which is a hospital for Yanamachla patients in New York. And there was a couple of Jewish fathers sitting around. And it was a very interesting Shabbos meal. They all got children, Nebuch suffering on the ward. And it was a meal until one person came up and said, does anyone have a nice Torah on the Sedra? And one by one, they went through and everyone said something which they saw that week. Until they came to the final person, he said, do you have anything to say? He said, to be honest, I've been so busy with the doctors and it's been such a crazy week for me. I didn't have time to even look at the Sedra. But I've got a question, and maybe one of you have an answer. I look at my son, he's suffering, he's going through a tremendous amount of pain. He's a good, frum Jewish boy. Why is he going through this? I look out the window, and I'm looking over into the park, there's a Goyisha child there. He's on his bike, healthy, he's playing football. He's a Goyisha child, and he's having such a good life. My Yiddish son is struggling so much. What's pshat in this? And the room fell silent. Until one Yishalmi Yid, who happened to be, came from Yisrael to have his son treated there, he said, I had the same question this week. I was sitting in the hospital and I'm watching my son suffering as well. And then I look on the right-hand side and I see a non-Jewish child. And I made the chiluk, I made the differentiation between the two. He's suffering, this Goyisha child. There's no purpose to suffering. He has questions, he's got no one to turn to, and it's just empty struggles. My child, yes, we also have questions. We don't really have answers. But we have the Rabbeinu Shlomo. We have someone to turn to and trust, even though we don't have answers to our questions. And on a personal level, when I was unwell a couple of years ago with leukemia, I was in hospital, and I was going through a very tough part of treatment. And occasionally I was able to go out my room, and there was like a commercial room where you'd meet other patients. There was like for everyone to sit around. And I was having a conversation with a boy, and then halfway through the conversation, I asked him, so where are you up to with treatment? So he said to me, to be honest, I'm just taking every day as it comes. I'm in palliative care, which means they're expecting me to die soon. I'm just trying to make as comfortable as I can until then. I was a bit thrown off my feet. Maybe I should have not asked the question. I didn't really know what to say to him. I didn't really think about this at the time, but looking back now, we both had questions. I was suffering, he was suffering. But his question of why he was dying, this person at 20 years old, he has no one to turn to, no emunah and belief why he had to go everything and why everything happened. Myself, did I have answers at the time? No. But at least at the time, I knew that Rabbi Shalom doesn't do something for no reason and he must be doing it for a good reason. And with this, we can also understand, we can go answer question number three. Question number three was, we get the children to ask questions, but we're going to answer the children. It's posher. They don't need answers. This is what we want to ingrain in our children. We want to show them. You can ask questions, but we don't need all the answers. You just have to trust. This is a very, very important thing. And to answer the final two questions, a couple of months ago, I was zoche to be in Dubai, and they have the tallest building in the world, the Burj Khalifa, over 800 meters tall. And what makes this building stand so tall? It has a very, very deep and strong foundation, 160 feet into the ground, and it has 110,000 tons of concrete just to keep the structure up. Why? Because without a foundation, the whole tower will fall down. You won't have a tower. You won't have the tallest building in the world. And this answers question number one. Before Klal Yisrael became Klal Yisrael go through a lot. There's lots of questions which are unanswered. The Torah is full of mitzvahs, a lot of them we don't even understand why we're doing them. This is why we had to go through this whole procedure of suffering and turning to the Rabbeinu Shlomo, seeing the love of the Rabbeinu Shlomo, seeing how much kindness, all the nisim. And with this was a solid foundation. Before we got the Torah, before we came to Klal Yisrael, before we had all of that, we needed this huge boost to start us off before we get going. This answers our second question, which I had as well. And the final question is that this is why we have to relive every single year leaving Mitzrayim. Because for us, every year, we have to have this personal injection and remembrance that whatever happens, whether we have questions, whether we have answers, we don't have answers, we always have to turn to Rabbeinu Shlomo. So the general idea is that we should be able to take out from this Pesach, my bracha to everyone here is that we should be able to utilize this Yom Tov and realize that there's Rabbeinu Shlomo who's always doing something for the good. Whether you understand it or not, we always have to trust him. Good morning.